The book of Jonah, this series we're going to see in three parts. What we're doing now is on a section called A Sovereign Call. And last week, of course, we talked about a call revealed. And that was the call of Jonah, of course, when God told him to go, he said no. And that was the beginning of trouble. As we move through the lesson, these lessons, we will see some of that trouble. Of course, if you're familiar with the story, you know the trouble that came. But today we're going to focus on only verse 3, but I would say let's go ahead and read verse 1 and 2 as well, but 3 is where we're going to be looking at the lesson, taking the lesson from today. So verse 1 of chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And that's our main verse today. So let's pray, and we'll launch right into it. Father, we thank you for our time together. Help us as we learn lessons from the life of Jonah, and we'll certainly thank you for it in Jesus' name. There's an old saying that goes kind of like this, man seems to ignore the sermon and wait for the siren. Now you might have to put your thinking cap on to get that, or it might just be obvious, but sometimes we hear truth and we kind of delay it and say, well, I'll just wait for the siren. Of course, then it's too late when the trouble strikes. You wish you would have gone back and had paid attention to that truth or that sermon or whatever scenario you want to put that in, the delay, the waiting, it really seems to be part of human nature, doesn't it? And sometimes we know what's right to do, we hear what's right to do, and we seem to just to put a pause on it. It's almost like we can tell God, well, just hold on a minute, God, or just give God a big time out or whatever, tell him, you know, God wants us to obey. He wanted Jonah to obey. He said, arise, go, and cry against the sins of this city called Nineveh. But Jonah did not do that. Somehow we think that we think we will be the exception to the rule. Or that God, this is scary, or that somehow God is not serious about what he says to us. That second part is scary. It's really scary. If we think for a moment that God isn't serious about what he has to say, of course, this book is very serious. This is all the things he wants us to know. He says it here. But when he speaks to our heart, or instructs us, or has things for us to do, they aren't suggestions, they are commands. And he expects us to obey those things. We kind of touched on that in verse lesson, so there's no need to rehash that now. But sometimes God will just let us go our way. He'll let us do just that in order to teach us a lesson the hard way. I don't know about you, but I've been to the school of hard knocks a time or two. It's sometimes people say experience is the best teacher. I disagree with that. Sometimes it's a tough teacher, but I think the Holy Spirit is the best teacher, not experience. Because sometimes we have to go through hard experiences and learn things the hard way, and that's not always the best. So yeah, experience is an effective teacher, but it's not always the best. Now God has given us the ability to choose. And while the choice is ours, the consequences are not. And I think that's going to be our first slide here. Let me go to the slides. We're looking at, today's lesson is called a Common Rebellion. So let me forward here. And here we go. So that's your first statement on your sheet there. God has created us with the ability to choose. And yes, while the choice is all ours, we unfortunately cannot choose the consequences that come with that choice. I guess in a way we are, if we knew what the consequences were. If we knew that if I made choice A and that was going to happen, or choice B and I knew that that was going to happen, it may influence my choice, but oftentimes, and unfortunately, we follow what our flesh wants to do and we don't make wise choices because of the influence of our flesh or influence of the devil or influence of friends or whatever the case may be. So we must understand that lesson there. One of the reasons that I think Jonah is such a popular Bible character, and even though we hate to admit it, is this. We see a little bit of us in him. Because when God speaks to us, we don't always say, yes, sir, right now, on it. We, too, have a tendency to delay, put it off, I'll do it later, or, worse yet, just go the other direction, which is exactly what Jonah did. And so I think we sometimes see a little bit of ourselves in his life. Rebellion, which is what it is a common human trait, and the result of rebellion is always the same. So we need to learn from the mistakes of Jonah, and that's what we're going to try to do in these next lessons, and learn from his life and try to take a different course of action because of what we're learning from him. So number one, as we get into the outline here, about this rebellion, this common rebellion, it's common because we all have a bit of rebellion in us. And the first thing we see about this is an attempt to flee. An attempt to flee. So we see that in verse number 3. It says, after the Lord gave him instruction in verse 2, verse 3 starts out with the word but. But Jonah rose up to flee where? To Nineveh? No. God told him, go to Nineveh. He rose up and went to go to Tarshish. And so he's going a different direction. He's trying to flee from the presence of the Lord, if you please, which is, we'll come to in a second here. I've started to give away one of our points here, but we'll see that in a second. But let's go to this one. Usually, honest confession is not our first thought when we sin. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes we don't even recognize it for what it is, sin. We're good at making excuses, calling it different names, trying to justify it, trying to reason why we did what we did or what we're going to do. Or, worse yet, we try to spiritualize it and put a spiritual twist on it. And we do that sometimes when we say, oh, you need to, have you heard about so-and-so? You need to pray for them because, and then we go on to this big, long, critical gossip tangent. But we spiritualize it by saying, you should pray for her because, or pray for him because, and we give this big list of information that was not needed. It's just gossip. But we don't call it gossip. We don't recognize it as sin because we tend to try to spiritualize it. And so usually honest confession isn't our first thought when we sin. When we sin, we want to hide. We want to run. We want to go the other direction. We want to call it different names. Anything but what it really is, disobedience or sin or running from God. And that's the case here. We do see Jonah running the other direction, and we see what's going to happen next. But let me give you this next point here. This attempt to flee is simply, it's a human inclination. I think it's something that we all deal with. Why? Because we have an old nature. And that old nature is carnal. That old nature is contrary. That old nature is stubborn. That old nature doesn't want to do what God wants it. That old nature doesn't want anybody telling me what to do. You're quiet because you know that's you. You don't want anybody telling you what to do. And it's a human inclination, unfortunately. Well, if we go to Genesis chapter 3, we see this. Because it reminds me, and you might have already thought of this, it reminds me so much of our very first parents, Adam and Eve. It says here in verse 7, and when the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, so this was a new revelation for them, they didn't realize that before, they sewed fig leaves together, this is hiding now, it's trying to hide, and made themselves aprons. But here's the worst part. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, next word please, hid. That's the human inclination. Hid themselves from what? The presence of the Lord. That's the human inclination, is when we're disobedient, when we're living in rebellion, when we've sinned, when we're going the wrong direction, we then want to hide from God. And let me see, I think we got a statement here. So the first reaction of Adam and Eve was to run from the presence of God. And of course, man has been running from God ever since. And that's a shame. But this is what I started to say earlier. I didn't want to give it away, but I'll tell it to you now. Here's the thing about this attempt to flee, and I want you to pay attention carefully here now. This attempt to flee is a hopeless impossibility. If you just think about it. You know, sometimes we get ourselves in the dark and we think no one can see us now. Or we hide here, we hide there, we look around, nobody's looking, and so I do or perform whatever this is I'm going to do or perform, this act that's against God, it's a sin, but hey, nobody's around. We try to hide. And that is hopelessly impossible. It's foolish. Why is that? Because God is everywhere. Amen? We cannot hide from God. And so it was a hopeless impossibility for Jonah to think, you know what? God wants me to go to Nineveh. I don't want to. I think I'll catch the next boat to Tarshish, the other direction. And I'll run from God because he's somewhere else. I'll run from him. Bad conclusion. You can't run from God. And so let's see a couple verses here. Jeremiah 23 tells us, can any hide himself in secret places, that I shall not see him? That's God speaking, saith the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. Isn't that an interesting statement? God fills heaven, he fills the earth. He's everywhere. He's what we call, doctrinally speaking, it's the doctrine of, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. And so no, it's foolish for Jonah to think he can run. Here's a longer verse. But David writing saying, whither shall I go from thy spirit, Lord? He's talking to the Lord. Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Maybe I messed up somewhere there. Even there shall thy hand lead me. So if he goes to heaven, he's there. If he goes to hell, God's there. If he takes the wings of the morning and flies off to the othermost parts of the sea, God's hand is there. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, there's man. Under the cover of darkness, God won't see me. Wrong. Even the night shall be light about me. God says, you go ahead and hide in the dark, it'll just be like all the lights are on to me. Because I see clearly. And yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. So that's an interesting statement. God's basically saying, look, whether it's light or dark, it's all the same to me. I see you. Don't try to hide under the cover of darkness. But that's an inclination of the heart. It's human inclination, our point A here, our letter A. It is a tendency that we have. But we must understand it's hopeless to try to hide from God. We must come to grips with the fact that no matter where we want to run, God is already there. God is already there. Now that can be a good thing, can't it? I remember when we were going through Deborah's cancer and the times, you know, the scary times about that. The unknown times, and thinking and trying to look into the future, what's going to happen, it was comforting to know that God was already there. What we're saying here. So we weren't running from God, we're trying to run to Him, and as we look to the future and look down the trail a bit, you know, say, well, you know what, I don't know what the future holds, but I do know this, God is already there. He already knows what's going to happen. And so we just need to trust Him. And so that can be a good thing. that God is already there. But in this case, Jonah was trying to run from God. You know, we hear teenagers say these kind of things. Well, when I'm 18, boy, I'm out of here. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to get out of this house and do my own thing. And as if they can run from God. Can't. God's, no matter where you can go to the farthest jungle away from here, wherever. God is everywhere. He's there. You can't run from God. Who learned the hard way but the prodigal son when he ran from home? Said, told his dad, Dad, give me my inheritance. I am out of here. And he learned the hard way that God was everywhere. And he came, of course, running back home. So this is our human inclination, which is an attempt to flee, but it's hopelessly impossible. Number two, this is interesting, and this is a huge lesson that we must come to grips with, and that is an alternative is found. An alternative is found. Let's look at verse 3 again. We're going to see the word found here. It's right in the middle of the verse. It says, But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. Aha! Here is an alternative. I don't have to do what God's telling me to do. I don't have to go to Nineveh. I found an alternative. And here's the lesson. Listen carefully. Satan will always present you with, well, let's see, let me give it here. It's a statement, actually. Satan will always make sure that there is a ship going in the opposite direction of God's will for your life. Always. Always. No matter what God tells you to do, Satan will make sure there are plenty of many other options. Just as long as you don't do the one that God wants you to do. That's Satan's goal. Satan says, oh, God wants you to do A. Well, you've got B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z to choose from. Choose one. Just don't take A. That's not such a good one. Take your choice. Satan always has alternatives. He always has some other option for you. He will make sure you have an option. He will make sure you have an excuse. He'll make sure of it. Always. It never fails. It never, ever fails. And as I said earlier, amazingly, we just happen to find the alternative. Oh, how convenient. And then we spiritualize it. Shame on us. That's the human heart for you. For instance, back to our illustration of Adam and Eve. When they did exactly what God told them not to do, Eve, right away, tried to spiritualize it. Oh, well, it's good for food. It's good for me. It's healthy. It's loaded with vitamins and minerals. It's something that'll make me strong. She didn't say all that. At least the Bible doesn't say so, But she did say, it's good for food. That was her reasoning. That was her rationale. Thank you. That was her way of thinking. That was her way of spiritualizing it. Try to justify why she did it. Even though God clearly said, don't do it. Well, under an alternative is found, we need to look at this. An obstinate decision. We may never have thought of it this way, but here it is, our next statement. When we make a decision that is in violation to God's will for our lives, which is clearly what Jonah's doing, God said go here, and he went there. He's in opposition or violation of what God told him. When we do that, we are saying to God that we as the creatures are smarter than the Creator. So, you know, God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah basically says, God, you've got it all wrong. I don't need to go to Nineveh. I don't like those people anyway. I'm going to go to Tarshish. You don't know what you're talking about. Let me take care of me. And this air that, hey, I'm the creature, but you're the creator, but guess what? I'm the creature, I'm smarter than you. The book of Romans gives us a verse about that. But nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed, that's us, say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Then this verse, hath not the potter power over the clay? God is the potter, we are the clay. Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, another to dishonor. So it's really human inclination, unfortunately, that we somehow think we're smarter than God and that we've got things figured out. Then we're going to look at this, an opposite direction. And notice that last point, we use the word obstinate. That's a nasty word. But that's exactly what we are when we think we know better than God, when we think we're smarter than God, and we don't have to listen to what he says. We're being obstinate. But here is an opposite direction. I want you to notice in verse 3 again, we're going to look at a couple words here. This is the direction. It says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went where? Down. Went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went where? Down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And so down. He was going down. Anytime or any direction away from God's will is always down. I think that's our next statement there, yeah. Any direction. So it doesn't matter what direction Tarshish was. If it was away from God's will, it was a downward spiral. It's always down. When it's away from what God wants, it's always down. Later, of course, he went down to Joppa. But later, of course, if we saw it there, he went down into the sides of the ship. And our next statement, this is the scary thing. Once you start going down, there is a momentum that is hard to reverse. I've certainly seen that in my lifetime as a Christian. People that got cattywampus, got turned sideways, got out of sorts with the Lord, and took that first wrong step. And then guess what? It was the second wrong step, and it was all downhill from there, and it's down a slippery slope. And once you start sliding, it's hard to reverse that. It's not impossible, but it's hard. And it really behooves us to just stay right with the Lord. Just do what he says. Be in his will. Safest place to be in God's will. Stay close to him. Don't try to hide. Don't try to run. Don't try to cover. Don't try to think. Don't think the darkness will hide you. Just be upfront, honest with God. You'll live a blessed life. Amen. It's not a bad life, folks. You know, sometimes we talk along these lines, well, it's all about rules, do this and don't do that. Well, I know there are some to-dos and some not to-dos. You have to admit. But those things, I use those things to prove my love for God. And, we've got to-dos and not do's for our son. But it's to keep him safe. It's to keep him protected. It's to let him know what the boundaries are. Again, which is protection. And it's all out of love, I guarantee you that. So we need to understand that. Okay, let's go on to the third one here. Whoop, didn't do it. So we saw an attempt to flee, which was ridiculous. We see him finding an alternative, which Satan will always have one for you. You just have to choose which one it's going to be. And then third one is an agreement on the fare. This is interesting. We look back at verse 3 again, and it says, after the second time the word Tarshish is used near the end of the verse there, it says, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. He paid the fare thereof. Now this next statement we're going to look at is, it blows my mind. And it amazes me, and I've been guilty. But it amazes me how any Christian could fall into this category. Here it is here. Amazingly, none of us want to pay the wages of sin, but we're willing to pay the wages to sin. Ouch. You get that? Ouch. Oh yeah, we know the Romans road. We get to the point about the wages of sin is death. The wages, the payment of sin is death. We don't want that. We do not want that. But a funny thing, we'll turn around, we'll shun that and say, I want to get saved. I don't want to pay those wages. We understand if I pay those wages, I have to pay them in hell. I don't want that. But then we get our pocketbook out and we seemingly are willing to get our money out and pay to sin. That was Jonah. I've been there. You've been there. Sin has a huge price, though. Has a big price tag. Thank God Jesus paid the ultimate price. He paid that price tag, which was unpayable by anybody else in the universe except Jesus Christ. He's the only one who had the cash, so to speak. He's the only one who had the wherewithal to pay that payment. But we play with sin. And this statement really gets me. It's like we're not willing to pay the wages of sin, but we're willing to pay the wages to sin. And that was the case with Jonah here, my mind. Every decision has a price. Now, good decisions, they bring about good fruit. Bad decisions, we pay dearly. I didn't put it on the slides here, and we won't take time to turn to it, but if we went to 2 Samuel 24:15, if you want to jot it down, look at it later. 2 Samuel 24:15 talks about God is talking to David, and he's telling him that there are going to be a total of 70,000 of his men slain in one go. Wipes them out, 70,000. So basically I'm saying this, by the time we get to this 2 Samuel 24, David has paid dearly for his bad decisions. Of course, earlier in the drama, he sins with Bathsheba, paid dearly. A 7-day-old baby goes to heaven, it dies. Uriah, one of the chief officers in David's army, he gets killed, which, by the way, was Bathsheba's husband. And David arranged it for him to be out front in the battle and make it easy to be killed. And now, in chapter 24, David, again, God clearly told him, do not number the men. Don't number them. But David thought he knew better than God, creature knowing better than the Creator. He went and numbered them. And God said, you've made a bad decision again. You've disobeyed. And now, now there's these series of things. A 7-day-old baby has died. Uriah has died. Now 70,000 of your men are going to die. These are all things that happened from bad decisions. And what I'm saying is, bad decisions have high price tags on them. And we don't want to pay. We don't want to be paying that kind of price. Oh, by the way, to mention this, David's sons died also. So a 7-day-old baby, Uriah, one of his chief captains, his sons, two of his sons, and now 70,000 of his men will be slain. That's a pretty hefty price tag to pay for decisions that were decisions to sin. Again, I put this here. Well, again, Satan makes it look like a good deal for us, but the result is always death. You know, we go back to the Garden of Eden. Here's Adam and Eve. Satan just starts off with humanity in the very same way. Hey, Eve, look how awesome this is. Look how beautiful it is. It's good for food. And apart from that, God doesn't want you to know some things. I think he's holding out on you. And so Satan makes it look like a good deal, right? So she swallows it, hook, line, and sinker. Or, yeah, she swallows it, literally. Takes of that tree and plunges all of human mankind, which, of course, there was only two people then, but all of mankind to come, plunges us into sin, the sin nature, and change the course of history. Adam and Eve were in a perfect environment. They were created perfect. They would have lived forever, but because of a choice, a bad choice, everything changed and death came. We think again about David, many others we could talk about throughout Scripture who made wrong choices, and we see the bad results of those choices. Well, let's finish up here. We've got three questions we need to, or three statements on the back of your sheet, I think it is. We as believers should carefully evaluate every decision that is set before us. Unfortunately, we don't always do that. Sometimes we're like bull in a china shop. We just make impulsive decisions, quick decisions. And sometimes we have to. I understand that. But sometimes there are major decisions that come our way. I think I said it in the first lesson on the overview of Jonas. Many times in life we stand at the fork in the road and we have to make a major decision. It would be so wise to pray about that decision, seek counsel about that decision, know what God wants for us in this decision, try to understand what the consequences might be of either decision, and carefully and with wisdom make our choice. We must evaluate. I think that would be very wise. Number two, we must realize that any choice made against God's plan will ultimately lead to ruin. And that's what we're learning from this lesson here. And then lastly, we must always strive to make wise choices that will lead to God's blessing and His benefit. Amen?